Ripple Effect. This is the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth. A nonprofit organization established in 2007 to provide powerful leadership training to the youth of our communities. And now, here's your host, by board member, co-owner of Rapport International, and certified trainer, Brett Johnston.
Hello, and welcome back to the Empowering Youth Podcast. I'm Brett Johnston.
And I'm Meso Whitaker.
And I'm JJ Chinowski, and I am so honored. And by the way, just to start out, this is going to be so freaking fun.
It is going to be fun.
I'm very honored to introduce Bailey Vaughn. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited for this.
We're excited to hear your story.
Yes, I can't wait to share.
Yeah, this will be good.
Yeah, Bailey, we were talking about this before we started. You're from a fun family, lots of fun, but there's just been so much life lived, right? And you've had a lot yourself. So let's hear your story. Where do you want to start?
Go far back, go way back, like 5 years old. I want to hear back to
little Bailey.
Yeah, okay. I want to hear that.
Talk about little Bailey.
Five, yes. I would say five is a great starting point. It's where a lot of my family dynamic comes from. When I was five, my parents actually got divorced. Mm-hmm. So it was a great year to choose. During this divorce, I don't remember a whole lot. A lot of people have messy divorces. Mine was very... as clean as it can be when you have people going through divorce. My family, still best friends. My parents love each other to this day. So the divorce was good. If it was the best for our family, for sure. And then fast forward, I want to say maybe 2-3 years later, my bonus parents, because I have a bonus mom and a bonus dad. Yep. Both were entered into the family and gave me some extra bonus siblings.
Let's talk about all these siblings for a moment, because that's where the music happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have one, I don't like to call it real sibling, but real biological sibling. I have an older brother.
How much older?
5 years.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Wow.
So, and then I have a younger bonus sister who's 6 months younger than me. And then I have a younger bonus sister who's 5 years younger than me, and then a younger bonus brother who's also 5 years younger than me.
Wow.
Yum.
Yeah. Lots of blending.
Lots of fun.
Lots changed really quick.
And where were you living at five? Just so I understand.
We were actually in Perry.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. What a great area.
Yes. Yeah. I went to elementary and up until like fourth grade in Brigham. Okay. And then I think it was my mom, maybe my dad, that moved to Ogden first, and the next one followed shortly after, and then been in Ogden ever since.
Awesome.
Yep.
So growing up at that time, you know, fast forward, you're about 8 years old. You have all your bonus siblings. Are you super close to them at that time?
Kind of. Younger Bailey was very stubborn. Grown out of it a little bit, I like to say, but I was very stubborn. So I had a hard time sharing my parents and learning like that aspect of life. So I was close to my very, very young sister. Me and my middle sister went the super closest. And then my little brother was kind of, we were all on different schedules when you're blending families. So yeah. I didn't see him a whole lot. But we were still close when we were together for sure.
But a little bit selfish if they were talking to mom or dad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Definitely hard, but.
So let's talk about characteristics of parents for a minute.
Yeah. My parents, like I say, are the best humans in the planet. They worked very well together with not only my dad and my mom, but bringing in the bonus and allowing your parents not only to just be, or allowing those bonus parents not to only just be your best friends and kind of like not really a parent, but they all stepped in as parents. So not only two parents, I was raised by four.
Yeah. And that has some fun moments.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So if you were to think about some of the characteristics of each of your parents, how would you describe them at that time in your life?
Well, starting with like,
cause you're Monday morning, this quarterback in this right now.
Yeah. My mom and my dad, obviously, I get a lot of my characteristics from them, but they were very strong. It was a very 5 years old to till we got everything put together, probably like 13. They were very strong for not just themselves, but us kids as well, and made sure not to show the struggles they were going through financially or just relationship wise across the board. All of them played a very huge part in who I am today, and strong and powerful and yeah.
And fun.
Yeah. Fun. Always fun. Always it is laughing.
That, was that the magic or the secret sauce that you're talking about?
Well, I would say that if I were to share what my limited information and knowledge is of that family, it's, you know, definitely hard workers, definitely family focused. Okay. But when it came time to have fun, like they knew how to have fun.
Explain yeah. fun. I want to understand. I mean, their just, kind just of fun.
Silly. It didn't take, they didn't have to have anything or be anywhere. They were the fun.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. We were definitely the house that the everyone jokesters. Came over to high school, junior high, because our parents were the fun parents.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, when your dad got remarried, I remember going to that wedding and just so light and, you know, like I said, very hardworking, and the ability to put in the focus and the time into work and show up that way. But when it was family time, it was like family time's on. Mm. Yeah. So that's how it showed up for me anyways.
Yeah, definitely. I'm still very family oriented. It's something we live and breathe in the Vaughns, and my mom's new last name is the Jennings. So the Vaughns and the Jennings.
Yeah.
Struggles at 8 years old.
Yeah. How would you describe yourself
now or then?
Then.
Like I said, very stubborn. I was a ball of energy. I didn't know how to control the excitement in my body and just was always jumping around. And like I said, like the family's fun, but I was also very stubborn and it's my way or the highway.
What were your friends like?
My friends were really fun in high school. I had a really, really good group of like 8 or 10 different girls that we did everything together. We were at everybody's houses through the night, traveled together, senior trips, still see each other a lot. So it was an amazing group of friends that I got in elementary through high school.
Let's talk about activities. What kind of activities were you involved in?
That was hard. Junior high and high school, I was I didn't do any extra activities. I didn't do sports. I didn't do anything. Tried out for softball a couple times, but I've had so many foot surgeries and things just didn't pan out. But my activities, again, kind of going back to what Brett said, is family. We were always doing things together, barbecues, mm-hmm. parties, birthdays.
Everything was a celebration.
Yes, for sure. So I didn't really do much in school aspect. Still have the hobbies, still keep myself very busy.
So when you look back to going through the divorce, and you said they made it as easy as possible, were there ever some stories that you were telling yourself when you were blending families and you were stubborn? What were some of the stories you told yourself back then, like conversations you had with little Bailey?
Yeah, a lot of the conversations weren't necessarily about our divorce. I have a really hard time because I feel like divorce has like this gray cloud over it. And for me, it didn't. It was something that bettered my family. It was taking the fighting out of one household and splitting it into two and growing my family. So it's hard for me because a gray cloud isn't over divorce for me. So a lot of my stories were, this is a good thing. This is allowing my family to grow. This is getting me those little sisters that I've ever wanted or things like that.
So, and they were talking to you about those things, but you were able to also notice that.
Yeah, for sure. It was a conversation we constantly had about how we're no longer going to live in these fights or things like that.
I mean, I think about the courage that it takes to do that.
Yeah, I could never.
Yeah. So when you were growing up and you had this core group of friends, like how did you get to know these friends? How did these friends like come into your life?
They all came in at different moments. And I think the moments that they needed to come in, I started with a couple in elementary. There was a core group, the four of us, we called ourselves the Powerpuff Girls because nice. That was the thing. So there was the core girls, there was four of us. We met through softball, rec softball, class. And then it kind of took us up to junior high where we merged different schools and joined in a couple more. And then high school was where we brought in like the last couple. And so, again, we just kind of met different phases of lives and took it from there. And everyone was kind of using their own benefits with each other.
So if you were to look back and think about any struggles you've had, what were some of the struggles that you've had?
Yeah. I don't have like any major struggles that come through to mind, honestly. They were all little battles, but nothing that like super sticks out to me that would be
nothing that was debilitating upsetting to the point where it changed your life. But what, you know, when we talk about those things, the reason why we want to talk about them is, you know, when we have teenagers, they really do think that whatever they're thinking, whatever they're feeling, or whatever they are experiencing, oftentimes they're doing it by themselves, or they're the only one that thinks or feels that way. And so we like to talk about it just simply for this, for the understanding that it's very common.
Right, right.
Like whatever it is.
Or they'll blame themselves. The reason my mom and dad are divorced is because of mine. Or, yeah.
You know, right. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, when we're growing as teenagers, everything's changing. And it changes so fast. Mm-hmm. And we don't know why we feel the way we do, or why we look the way we do, or I don't know. There's just all those things where today everybody's comparing themselves to everyone else.
Right.
And not understanding that, man, you've got some, you know, superpowers in there, and every this too shall pass, whatever it is.
Well, and as you're talking, you mentioned there's nothing like major that I look back at, but in your situation, you could probably talk to somebody else and they'll say, I went through depression. I thought about suicide. Mm-hmm. All of these things are real life things that happen. And once again, I go back to the secret sauce. What do you think changed, or what happened? It is because of your parents, the way that they handled it. So you handled it the same way.
Yeah. So maybe it didn't make this big, deep scar.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely probably went through the high school things of comparing myself and things like that. Like I said, a couple days after I graduated through rapport, my family, two stepsisters, stepmom and dad moved to New Hampshire, which was a big thing for me. Like I said, we're very family oriented. So when half of them get up and move literally across the country, it feels like, or the world, should I say, it did make a big impact on me, but I knew it was going to happen. We've had discussions about it. So I really tried to put my best foot forward and just travel as much as I could to see them, or still give them those FaceTime calls or those phone calls once a week or whatever that process is. But it was definitely hard for a while. And I think I was, again, a very stubborn high school student that I just put everything in the back of my mind. And so now as I get older, I'm like, wait, like my family lives over there and I live over here. So I think it's hit me more the older I've gotten than I allowed it to hit me when I was in high school or
junior. Is that because of the friend groups?
Yeah, for sure. I buried myself into friend groups. Also, my mom, my dad moving across the country gave me and my mom a relationship that I don't think we would have had.
There's always a gain.
Yes.
Always.
Do you remember when, so before we talk about you and how you got to rapport and all that, do you remember when rapport entered your family?
Oh. I don't know the exact like year, but my brother went through and he's 5 years older than me. So yeah, I know about the phase of life I was in.
Yeah.
How old were you when you heard about rapport?
Oh, probably like 10.
Wow.
Or younger.
Yeah.
And what'd you think about, I mean, if you can remember.
I just remember going to my first graduation and being like, oh my gosh, this is it. I love it. And yeah. So then like going and spending our Saturdays up there in the heat, just kind of listening to everything and everyone.
Because the family amazing. Showed up. The family always showed up.
Mm-hmm. We were there no matter if we knew the graduation.
They were always big supporters of Building Utah Youth, always involved, always showing up, always sending teens.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you get to class?
It wasn't like the normal stories. Someone picked me up and put me, and I got this backpack and went. I knew it was coming.
They asked.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew we were all going to go through it at some point. Mine was a little bit earlier than expected. I was pretty young. I think I was like 15. So I think I was the youngest in my class. But I actually had the opportunity and I went up to, I think it was the Heber one, and they had an LB1 and I went through with my stepmom at the same time. Mm-hmm. So we knew it was happening. We knew it was going to happen before they moved to New Hampshire because my dad wanted to send us both. So I was all for it. I packed my bags and got on the bus and went up.
And we got to hang out for a couple of days.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
What an incredible experience with your stepmom.
Yeah, it was very incredible. I loved it.
I think back to that time, and you're right. There were a lot of major changes happening at that time.
Yes.
You know, before the class, during the class, and then immediately after.
Yeah. And it felt like our world had turned upside down for a little bit.
And there was a lot of motion around it.
Yes, for sure.
I think there was even though it was such an amazing opportunity for the family, I think there was some, even a little bit of fear, you know, with what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was losing my stepsisters forever. Never talked to them again, but it hasn't turned out like that.
Yeah. So you go to class, you're up there, your stepmom's in the other classroom. What did you learn about yourself being there? What did you gain for yourself from experiencing that training?
I gained a lot. Like I said, I was very stubborn. I didn't have patience. This made me enjoy life a little bit more and kind of take a step back and see, why is someone thinking this way? Or why would someone do something this way? And kind of better understand like what's going on through their brains, especially my classmates when I was up there.
Yeah. Do you feel like that being able to listen to your classmates was the most powerful thing of the training?
Yes. I remember the first night my roommate, Miss Rodriguez, I believe was her last name, was the shyest person there. And like I said, I'm very outgoing. So I was not. And I was like, oh, here we go. Like, I'm just going to talk to myself all night long. I'm going to stare at this wall and entertain myself. But it was not like that at all. We were up all night talking and getting to know each other. So it was very different.
But as you're walking through that process and you're getting an opportunity to kind of do those closed eye processes and think about some of those moments in life where you were getting given an opportunity to reframe them, what were some of the conversations you had?
With myself?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a lot. I was a very negative kid as well. So I think sitting back and being able to take things and turn them positive has shown a lot into what I am now, because I really do my best to not be negative and try to make the best, or not try. I do my best to make out of every situation.
Yeah. Make it positive.
So that was a major shift right there.
Yes.
Yeah. Cause prior to that, it was more negative. Mm-hmm. Now you're self-aware and you're like, stop.
Definitely.
Love that.
What about the trust and love for your family? Did that deepen?
Yeah, it grew a lot, especially with my stepmom. We had some really good bonding moments just while we're at lunch, because we did get to have like meals with them and mornings with them and our break times with them. So it grew a lot while we went through those experiences together.
Yeah, that was a special class for sure. I mean, that was a really big graduation, extremely big graduation.
It was very
large. Everyone was there. So you get done with class though. Go ahead, JJ.
Biggest takeaway, if you could look back at those 2.5 days, what would you say the biggest takeaway was for you?
Mine is probably self-worth, understanding where I can better myself and where I can stand in this world.
Yeah.
Self-worth. Ooh,
that's a big one.
Yes. Yeah.
So I have a question. A very common question I get as we send, you know, adults through is, why go through the teen and adult class? What's the benefit of actually having the adult and the teen go through the process together? Mm. I didn't have that, you know, privilege of getting to go through it. What do you think was the most impactful thing with having your bonus mom there?
It might be different for me just because she is a bonus mom, but I felt like our relationship wasn't where it needed to be for her to make this move to New Hampshire. So I think it really helped us build this relationship, as well as just see each other at those low moments or those high moments and cheering each other on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we get that opportunity once a year here and we're grateful for it. And you know, people don't know what they don't know. And so, you know, it seems like parents are really excited when a coach or a mentor nominates their teen to go to their training. They're like, oh, that's so awesome. And we go, hey, you know, there is a class that you can go with your teen. And they're like, yeah, no, maybe not me, maybe not this one, maybe another one. Right. Yeah. And so they miss out on that opportunity. And what they don't understand is there's only 3 years that they could actually do that.
Yeah.
So I know why the process was sped up for you. Yeah. Was because you guys were getting ready to encounter some really different and at moments difficult times. It was going to be new. It's going to be different. Yeah. There was a lot of change coming. So you walk out of that class and you've got a deeper love and appreciation for your family, and half of them are leaving.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then what?
Life went rolling. Me and my dad drove out to New Hampshire with the two dogs, and I stayed out there for the summer. Got to move in with them, hang out with them, and then came home and started school.
Yeah.
What year of school were you in?
I was going into junior.
It's junior.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm young, so I turned 16 2 months after rapport.
Wow.
Wow.
Back in school. God, how was New Hampshire for the summer?
It was good. It was challenging. We were moving them, so there wasn't much to do, but it was nice. I forget about this moment all the time, but since they were moving into a new house, we were painting, we were redoing flooring. So we actually all slept in the living room for those first 3 months. And
oh my gosh.
Slumber party.
Yeah.
Yes. On mattresses. So we spent a lot of quality time together.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Would you trade that for anything?
No. I would go back in a heartbeat.
Wow. And back there, there's lightning bugs that nobody knows about out here.
Until they see them.
Yes.
And then they go, so what true. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were at a beach house like the first week we were out there, and they were everywhere, and it was gorgeous.
Yeah. I want listeners to think about that for a moment, because parents today would find that very hard to go, I'm going to move somewhere and we're all going to sleep
in the
living room for 3 months while we work on the house. And there's no way I could do that with my kids, you know, and yet.
Yeah, we did it.
And you loved it.
Yeah, we loved it. And it's very different. Utah to New Hampshire is a different world. Utah, you know, if you're driving north, south, east or west.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We did not. So we got lost 900 times. But
yes.
Yeah.
Wow. No, that's a great, great moment.
Well, you think about it. This is right. This is right before smartphones.
Yeah.
This is
you didn't have GPS and yeah. All. Yeah.
We kind of did, but it was different. A little glitchy. There's no service out there. You're literally in the middle of nowhere is what it feels like until you hit a main road, and then it's like world hits you.
Yeah.
Wow. So you come back. Mm-hmm. Then what?
I finish high school.
How did you finish high school?
Good. I mean, I came back and would go back out there every Christmas, every summer. Finished high school. My plan was to move out there for college. And then I couldn't leave my mom or my friends. So never did end up going out there. And then just started getting my associate's degree. Wasn't sure where I wanted to go from there.
Where'd you go to school?
I did SLIC.
Yeah.
I did half online, half in Salt Lake. So I was making that commute, working as a para at Mount Ogden Junior High on 12th Street, just part-time while I went to school. So, yeah.
Yeah. What did you experience there?
A lot. I love helping kids. We worked with anybody who had an IEP, so special needs, to just needing help with reading. We worked on moving them into a class of students that did not have an IEP. So it was...
What is IEP, just so I understand?
It's just anybody who has like anywhere from autism to just needs help with like a little bit of extra
help.
They're just
maybe a little behind with the reading or, you know...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I worked at a junior high that wasn't the greatest academically or financially. And so... Again, this kind of helped me realize like what life is and brought me the positive out, but I took me for granted and was able to help those kids kind of understand where to go from here and move up to their high school. And
so it started to help develop your perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
Lots of gratitude showing up.
Yes, definitely.
and you learn patience when you went through the class, then that goes into that.
Yeah. Patience with communities and things like that. I learned different ways and whatnot.
So you get out of school, you're going to college. I would almost say, yes, that was a job, but that is one of those jobs that you're not getting paid a lot to do. And it fit your schedule. So you were doing it, but was it more than the money?
Yeah, I had a really hard time leaving that job. I needed something that was full-time, and then COVID hit. So school was no longer in session. So it didn't like make us quit our job. I had put my 2 weeks in like 2 weeks before COVID had hit. So my last day was no school. So it was really hard for me to leave that job. I've thought about it multiple times going back to it. But now I'm an adult and have bills.
You're so adulting.
It's hard.
Yeah. So you leave that job, and what was next for you?
Where did I go from there? I don't even remember. I think I went to the IRS actually for a little bit, needed a full-time job. It was quick. It was easy. Fit in my schedule
again. On the same street.
Yeah. Yeah. 12 streets, my fave, I guess. Yeah. So went to the IRS for a year. Again, COVID hit. So I was employed there for a year, but I only worked in the building for like 4 months because we couldn't get into the building because of COVID.
Wow.
So let's talk about relationships at this time. How are your relationships at this time?
Good. That same year that COVID hit, me and three other girls moved out into a cute little house in South Ogden for a year. And it was the best year of my life with the girls, their boyfriends, just kind of living our best pre-20s age.
Yeah.
Explain a typical weekend at the house.
Well, we had a nursing student. So there was actually, we weren't as crazy as you would think when you would walk into a house of four girls with 20-year-olds. But we spent a lot of quality time sitting on the couch, watching movies, girls' nights, dinners together. We'd cook for all the guys. So lots of really good things. During that same phase of life, I was in a not the healthiest relationship-wise, pretty emotionally torn, but the girls really helped me with that.
How'd you find yourself in that place?
I think I let go of myself first, and then again, I'm stubborn, so I took it out on him, and then it just went down from there.
So I remember you talking about, you know, getting that self-worth, leaving the training. And life is real. Yes. And it gets real quick. So you're now adulting, you're living on your own, you're in a relationship. And when you say that started with you, what do you mean by that?
I think I lost track of everything that I had gained at Rapport. I was 5, maybe 6 years down the road from it. And it was kind of on the back burner, just in my back of my head. And so I was living my day-to-day routine, going to school, going to work, kind of just got in that groove and let myself go.
Mm-hmm. So what was the defining moment?
Couple years later, actually, I stayed like that for about 3 years in that relationship. Ended the relationship and turned my life around.
That's scary.
Yes.
That's taking a risk of what you know and what you're comfortable with. And even to some degree, even though you may look back and go, that was not a great relationship for either person, right? And you think about your parents having the courage to split and having kids when they did it, all right? That's scary.
Yes.
But you make the choice, yet what were some of the things you were telling yourself then?
I regretted it a lot. I thought, why would I do this? I'm comfortable. Like, I can live through this life. We're fine. So just a lot of those things that regretted it. It took me a couple months to not regret it.
Yeah. And how'd you work through that?
My mom. She's nice. My ride or die. The week I actually moved into my mom's after all of that, my brother and my sister-in-law moved back from Pittsburgh, so they also have a huge way too.
Ride or die.
Yeah.
Explain that.
She's my best friend. She's my left hand. She does everything for me. We live 2 minutes away, which healthy and unhealthy, but I love it.
Yeah.
But ride or die, meaning that she would do anything for you?
Yes, we'd do anything for each other.
Yeah.
So what were some of the conversations you and mom had after going, while going through that? Because that's not you're done.
Right. I don't express my thoughts and my feelings very easily. So she was digging into me and asking all the hard questions. And I was like, just leave me alone. Like, I'll get through this. I'm fine. Like, we'll just put it on the back burner. Walk like it never happened. I don't want to talk about it. But no, she asked me all the questions. We sat in my room multiple nights. Aww. And
what were some of the questions? The reason why I'm digging in is because you guys went through it.
Yeah.
And I know that there's someone else going through it.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, definitely. My mom, it started out as like the simple questions. You okay? What are you doing today? Let's go out to dinner. Let's get your mind off of it. And then it kind of dove deeper into just kind of questions about where I see myself in 10 years. And did I see myself with him and things like that?
Ouch.
Yes.
Yeah. So what did you learn from that experience?
A lot. Again, I would say self-worth. I think this had to happen in order for the last 2 years and moving into my future, or last 3 or 4 years. I don't know the exact time frame.
How long did it take you to heal?
Not as long as I expected. About a year and a half, I would say. I can't say I'm fully healed. Yeah. I will still have that trauma, but a year and a half and I was good.
Year and a half of working on you.
Yes. Yes.
And that was the key. Mm-hmm. Having the support from many.
Yes.
But making the choice to start to work on you again and getting that self-worth back. Do you remember when that started to flip?
I don't remember the exact time. I knew for that year and a half, I was focused. I was driven. This is my year. This is my time to shine.
Did you set goals for yourself? Were you doing things that you had stopped doing? Were you doing new things? What are some of those things?
Yeah, I got a new job and was just kind of working on myself, started going to the gym, went back into the family-oriented life that I started out as.
So you went back to that safe place of spending more time with your family?
Yes.
Yeah. And when you say going to the gym and focusing on yourself, what are some other things that you were doing?
I picked up reading.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very mental place for me to go. And I also picked up walking, which other than the gym, I would just go walk around the block and just listen and think or sit in silence.
Okay. Yeah. Those are tough things to do.
Yes.
That sitting in your silence, sitting with yourself, going for a walk. Yeah. So you were having conversations with yourself.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. What would you say, knowing what you know now, what would you tell someone going through that?
You'll live through it. There's always the top. You're going to hit the top. I have recently gotten engaged to my best friend and my biggest cheerleader. So you'll make it.
What's his name?
Nixon.
Yeah. Aww,
congrats.
That's right.
Step back just one page.
Yeah.
What were you reading at that time? Do you remember what books?
I don't know the exact books. Honestly, anything that would just get me out of my day to day.
Got it.
So it was your way to escape. Were you reading things that were storylines? Were they fictional, nonfictional? A little both.
Yeah. A little bit of everything. I didn't like really dive into a whole lot of like motivational or anything like that, or documentaries until recently. It was more of just, oh, let's read this story that somebody wrote to get my mind off of my life.
Uh-huh. So you were finding that reprieve outside of, a lot of people use a lot of substances and stuff to dull or numb or forget. And you were using the gym, working on your physical health. You were walking. You're using that time to talk with yourself and just breathe and just be out about again, move. Right. And then you were reading or listening to books, which allowed you to kind of lose yourself into something that is your own mind. Because even though you're reading or listening to a book, it's still your own imagination that's going on.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's powerful. So you work your way through that time. You get up and you dust yourself off, right? You got some bruises.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Would you change anything?
No, absolutely not. Everything I've learned has helped me in my future and now relationships.
Yeah, we were talking before you got here tonight about those things and, you know, talking about things that, you know, we would change.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's pretty hard to say that you'd want to change anything that's been difficult because you wouldn't be you.
Yeah.
And if you weren't you, you wouldn't be in the relationship you're in now.
Right. Right.
Right. So you work through that with the help of everybody. And what was next? Got the new job.
Yeah. I guess that brings us until like now. I worked at that new job. I met Nixon, which... Nixon.
How'd you meet him?
Nixon.
He's my brother's best friend. So we actually knew each other. He lived through that past relationship with me as well. So I think that's kind of helped a lot.
So he kind of knows...
Yeah, he knows my trauma and my struggles. And so, yeah.
So how did you guys actually meet though? Like, so you knew each other, yeah. But when it's your brother's best friend, it's like that dude.
Yeah.
That guy. Yeah.
We were always very, very flirty with each other. He was also going through a relationship when I did. And then we both kind of called it off around the same time or in the same year. So we both had some time to grow as ourselves. After that, one night he just decided to start texting me and then asked me on a date. And I was like, I don't know about this. You need to ask my brother's permission. I feel awkward about this. But, and then after that, we went on our first date and yeah, then.
Was it awkward?
Well, we met at Walmart, so nobody knew we were going on a date.
I love that.
So it was a little bit awkward in the car ride, but then once we got to dinner, like it was fine and everything felt good and there was no awkwardness.
What did your brother say?
He was all for it. My sister-in-law was pushing it for a while. And my brother, you know, boys, they're like, no, like that's so weird to talk about. I don't want to do it. But Nixon asked him, I don't want to say for like his permission, but kind of for his permission.
Just ask him what he thought about
it. Yeah. And like, hey, do you mind if I do this? And he was like, yeah, like you're totally fine. Do whatever you want.
But,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you guys go on your first date.
Yeah. We went on our first date, 2 years ago in May. And then just started dating and seeing each other every single day. And then last August got a townhome together.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Yes. So what, and then you got engaged somewhere here too, yeah. Right?
We got engaged in June. So just a couple months ago.
How did he do it?
He told my best friend is a photographer. So he had her reach out to me and say she needed a model, which I didn't believe because she's too good to need a model. but she had recently, like a couple years, asked us if we needed a model when she needed a model. But then it's been a couple years and she's too good. So I was like, okay, whatever. So we went to the very, very top of Big Cottonwood Canyon, I think. And
did you feel like something's up?
Yeah. But then okay. I tried to talk myself out of it. And I was like, no, this isn't happening. Like, no, no way. And then we went and took some pictures and then we kind of turned the corner and there was like this dock with a bunch of stuff set up. And then he asked me and then our parents came out of the bushes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, how cool.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Yes.
Wow.
In June.
Yeah. Just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's talk about, you know, I know you love your family.
Yeah.
But we want to do a shout out to some of the family members tonight.
Yeah.
Who do you want to talk about? Who do you want to talk to? Who do you want to speak with?
Yeah. I feel like I've talked about all of you kind of in a different way. Of course, all my four parents,
let's talk about your mom first.
Yeah. Massive shout out to her. Honestly, she's carried me through everything. She's celebrated everything. She's just amazing.
Then you got the bonus dad.
Yeah. He's currently in Canada for a couple months at work, but massive shout out to him for supporting our family and pushing us all.
Yeah. Isn't it great when you get to have all these family members?
Yes, we are very large.
Mm.
They shape you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Every one of them.
How about your bonus mom?
Yeah, same thing.
You guys have similar energy.
Yeah, we are very fire and ice. We knock it off. Just a big shout out to her for always keeping our family together and kind of pushing us to strive every single day.
Yeah. Your goofy dad.
Yeah.
He's so goofy.
Yeah, he is one of the, he is me in a man form, or I am him in a girl form, yep. Whatever you want to call it.
100%.
But just a massive shout out for him pushing me through this experience, and not only the experience through rapport, but life as well.
Yeah, I mean, rapport is, it's such a short moment, and that is one of the things that we all have in common. But the part we have in common is our ability to be aware of things. And that's all we're talking about, is what awareness do you have for the life that you have forged? Because you've had to fight for it at times.
Yeah.
Right. So I know I asked you earlier, what would you tell that younger person? But I want you to think about you working at the school and working with all those kids and thinking about the diversity that you've had with your family, right? And all the bonuses.
Yes.
Not everyone frames it that way.
Right, right.
So how would you share the, you know, some of the tools or some of the experiences you've had that would help someone else reframe that situation and really look to the bonus side of things?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is to learn to love to yourself. You've got to love yourself before you can love anybody else in your family. So allow to love yourself, and then also be okay to have those deep conversations with those bonus members.
Takes a lot of trust though.
Yeah.
It's scary.
It is very scary. Ours was not, I might make it sound like it was a breeze and we blended families so well. That is not a thing. Blending families it's rough. There's family therapy. There's deep, deep conversations that you have to have with yourself, with your family members. So allow yourself to sit in those moments and have those conversations with people who matter to you, and ask them questions, and be okay to get therapy and ask a random person.
How would someone know that they are not in the right relationship? How would they know that? How would they know that it's toxic, that there's yeah. more?
You've got to trust your gut. If you're having a feeling that this is not for you, you deserve better, you work harder than what you're allowing yourself to do, you've got to trust that, and you've got to be okay with having the rough couple years after you make that decision, but allowing yourself to grow.
Yeah. So what are you doing? You got your own home.
Yes.
You're engaged. What are you doing right now for work?
I actually serve part-time at Texas Roadhouse.
Nice. I love that place.
Yes. I graduate on Thursday.
You probably get to see my buddies in there all the time.
Probably.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they're regulars.
Yeah. I graduate on Thursday in a couple of days with my lash and brow artist
awesome. Degree.
So I worked at that last job until I had enough money to basically be jobless while I go to school, but then picked up Texas Roadhouse because I need the
yeah.
communication and the life aspect.
So you graduate when?
Thursday.
Oof.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thursday. Then what?
It's testing week. I have a little booth that I am renting up at a salon in South Ogden, and going to just bust butt until I get a full clientele.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I love it.
Yes.
Well, what's next outside of just that? Next 5 years.
The next 5 years of my life, I feel like, are where everything happens. Obviously, marriage and business.
Do we have a date?
Yeah, May 25th in Cancun, Mexico.
Whoa. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, good. Yeah, why not?
Yes. Nice.
Everybody's excited about that. They're like, yes.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like Mexico?
Yeah.
My family was for it, and I've always said destination, and then I second guessed it, and then talked to the closest people to me, and they were like, we'll be there. And so we booked it. So awesome. Yeah, definitely marriage next year. I've building my clientele, pushing that
building aspect. Your business.
Yeah, building a full business. In 5 years, possibly babies, but
wow.
So yeah, a lot in the next 5 years.
How many?
Just two.
Just
two? With yeah. the family you've had, just two?
I know,
two?
But they have plenty. I've got two nieces and a nephew on the way, so they'll do the work. I'll just have the two.
That's awesome.
One more question I have for you really is when you talked about self-love and you talked about self-worth and you have discovered that multiple times now, more than once, how do you coach someone to do that? How do you share with someone that journey is worth the fight?
It's very worth it. Like I said, you have to love yourself in order to give anybody else love. And so I don't think that I would be in the relationship I am now if I wasn't able to love myself. And so sitting into yourself and jotting down goals or where you see yourself in the next 5 years and taking those one at a time. This year I started a goal to make my bed every morning and it's just made my life
little.
Yeah. It's so small, but it takes 5 seconds and it makes my day so much smoother.
But it helps your self-worth.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Allowing myself to go on those walks and sit in the silence and ask those deep, deep conversations of, or deep, deep questions of, where do I see myself? What is this the right career? There's a lot of things that go into loving yourself, not just physically, but emotionally and future and everything like that.
Do any of those questions have to do with what you will do, or are they more so to do with who?
I think both. Yeah. I think a lot of the questions that you ask yourself on where you see yourself or things like that will allow you to see who's with you in those 5 years or who's going through that process with you.
Identifying the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've really become the focus. You know, and JJ always talks about you are who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
Right. So if you don't like who you're, or no, you don't like who you are, you have to really think about who you're surrounding yourself with.
You're not a tree. You can move.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, you talk about self-love and I jotted down, it's that being honest with your family.
Yeah.
And really letting go, which is like what Brett said, that's scary as yeah. all get out, you
it
know,
is.
But that discipline of, you know, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to go walk or whatever that looks like.
Well, because
like.
It's all you have.
Yeah.
When you're looking at a situation and thinking, I don't like where I'm at, or I don't like how I feel, or I may even not like who I am. Mm-hmm. It's still all you have. And the only way you can get to that next level or, you know, become that other person or to have that better relationship or whatever is to let go of what you have, which is the scary part.
Yeah.
That's the unknown. The truth is though, it always works out.
Yeah.
It just always works out. People always find, cause they keep moving. They always figure it out.
Yes.
And when you're going through hard things, you know, you look back and go, who can I talk to?
Mm-hmm.
What can I read? And what other things am I missing that I need to bring into my life? And it might be as simple as breath work.
Yeah.
The practice of letting go and just being in your own thoughts, being self-aware.
And move. Just move.
Yes.
You know, people get stuck on the couch or stuck in their room or stuck in their house or although stuck on their phone. They go deep diving on the phone and you got to move, you know, turn off the noise.
Yes.
Now when you turn off the noise and it's just you having a conversation with yourself, pretty hard to ignore yourself, isn't it?
Right. I'm very opposite. I can't stand sitting on the couch or laying in bed. I have to be doing something 24/7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
No.
You've had so many beautiful nuggets. Anything else you want to share? Anything else you want to say? Anything you thought about? You know what? This is something else I would tell the younger version of me right now.
Not necessarily the younger self of the younger me. To anybody who's basically listening, who's graduated through teens or LB1 or whatever it is, just go on team. I went in, I think it was last June, and it was a life changer again. It brought back all the emotions, all the feelings, all the self-growth. It brought back more things than I could imagine.
Amen.
That's all.
Respect, integrity, passion, personal power, leadership, enthusiasm. This has been the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth. To become part of the 3%, visit Building Utah Youth on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or on our website at buildingutahyouth.org.